oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big day of Scottish Premiership action. Celtic are at Kilmarnock first up as they look to regain top spot from Aberdeen. Rangers have 2 positive results in a row. Can they make it 3 with the visit of Hearts to Ibrox? And it all comes on the back of a Saturday which saw Hibs lose again to stay bottom, with big wins for the likes of Motherwell, St Mirren and Dundee United. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me in the studio for the next 6 hours is Gordon Dalziel, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Aberdeen passed their test of character last night with flying colours after that 4-1 win over Dundee, and now it's Celtic and Rangers who go into the examination hall. Celtic had Brendan Rodgers described as a generational win over RB Leipzig in Europe on Tuesday. Today, he wants an inspirational win over Kilmarnock in Ayrshire so that he can go back above Jimmy Tielan's side. Rangers now a mammoth 12 points behind Aberdeen. So anything other than a win for Philippe Clement's side against Hearts at Ibrox today is a disaster. But it's been 10 years since Hearts last won a league game at Ibrox, and last season's top goal scorer, Lauren Shankland, is this season's high-profile flop. So, I can confidently, even the worst tipster in the world, can confidently tip a Rangers win at Ibrox, and I'll stay here until 8 o'clock to prove to you that I'm right, Mark.
Oh, well, I can't wait to spend all these hours alongside you, Hugh, and wait for you to be proved wrong somewhere along their line. I'm sure it'll be coming. But some interesting fixtures this afternoon. Always intrigued when any team, Celtic or Rangers, go to Rugby Park. Now, Celtic dealt with it perfectly well at the end of last season with a 5-0 victory, and they dealt with Kilmarnock in opening day of the season with a 4-0 victory as well. Will it be the same today? I wonder what the team lineups will hold for Brendan Rodgers and for Derek McInnes. And then on to Ibrox. Can Rangers take their form from midweek? I thought they were good for 90 minutes midweek against Olympiacos. Can they bring that form back to Ibrox and beat a struggling Hearts side? I fancy them as well, Hugh. But a good day ahead, looking forward to it.
Yeah, a terrific afternoon of football. You can't ask for better. They say about Super Sunday, this is what it's all about, Gordon. The 2 big teams in Glasgow, one going down to Kilmarnock, one at home to Hearts. I think we'll get plenty of action, plenty of talking points.
Strap yourselves in, we are here for the long haul. 8 o'clock on a Sunday night before you get rid of us, but with good reason. Plenty big games to look back on from yesterday, of course, and we will do that in the not too distant future. And then 2 huge games, Kilmarnock against Celtic. Can Celtic regain top spot from Aberdeen? And then over to Rangers and Hearts, both in Thursday night European action. Will there be a hangover? How will they respond? Hearts need the points at the bottom, and my goodness, Rangers need them to push at the top as well. You are invited, encouraged, call it what you will, to stay in touch throughout the afternoon on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Send us messages with whatever is on your mind, and of course, when the time is right, I'll give you the nod. You can pick up the phone and join in with us. A 6-hour special on a Sunday here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's get stuck right in. Team news from Rugby Park. Here's Gabriel.
Yes, Gordon, let's start with Celtic in second place, somehow looking to get back on top with a win today. Brendan Rodgers makes two changes from Tuesday's win in the Champions League. Cameron Carter-Vickers is not risked on the AstroTurf surface, and Kyogo Furuhashi drops out as well. In come Adam Eder up top and Liam Scales at the back. So the 11 is as follows: Kasper Schmeichel in goal, Alistair Johnson, Liam Scales, Austin Trusty and Greg Taylor at the back. It's Callum McGregor, Reo Hatate and Arne Engels, the same midfield three from Wednesday, Tuesday night, and Nicholas Kuhn, Dazen Maeda on the flanks with Adam Eder through the middle. Subs: Sinisalo, Baye, Kyogo, Yang, Forrest, Bernardo, Ralston, McCowan and Welsh. What about the host? Well, Kilmarnock is just three changes for Derek McInnes' side from last weekend's loss at Dundee. Stuart Finlay's missing for a lengthy period through injury. Danny Armstrong also misses out altogether. Bruce Anderson drops to the bench. In come Joe Wright, Liam Donnelly and Marley Watkins. Looks like it's going to be that 5-3-2 formation from Kilmarnock that we've seen very often over the last few seasons. Robbie McCrory in goal, Lewis Mayo, Robbie Deese and Joe Wright as the back three, Matty Kennedy and Corey Ndarbo wingbacks, David Watson, Liam Donnelly and Brad Lyons are the middle of the park, Kyle Vassell the captain and Marley Watkins up top. O'Hara, Burrows, McKenzie, Mackay, Stephen, Murray, Cameron, Anderson, Polworth and Bainbridge are the substitutes.
Plenty to get our teeth stuck into. Mark Wilson from the Celtic team. We'll get to that in just a second. When you assess Kilmarnock, Gordon, I guess you've kind of seen the best version of them last season and what can happen when Celtic aren't at it and Kilmarnock are. Celtic lost their last season early in the season. By the time Celtic go back to try and wrap up their title, they've got a swagger about them. They really know what they're doing. They blow Kilmarnock away. So two sides, and I suppose Brendan Rodgers will be hoping it's the latter and Derek McInnes the former.
Yeah, I was at that game. I thought second half when Derek tweaked one or two things, they were terrific and deserved to beat Celtic on the day. This is a different Celtic outfit. It's turning up at Rugby Park, especially full of confidence after the other night, the midweek. You look at two changes, it shows you Brendan Rodgers has given Kilmarnock every respect, and rightly so, because you look at that Kilmarnock side, there's danger in there. Two wide areas, two wing backs. You look at the two centre forwards, they'll be a real handful. It's all about defending for Kilmarnock. There'll be a threat at set pieces. They're a very big, strong, physical team, but they can also play. Let's not take that away from them. I think this is a cracking game, Diddy.
I think Brendan Rodgers clearly believes that Adam Eder and Rugby Park were made for each other. So Kyogo Furuhashi goes to the bench. He's not messing about today, Brendan Rodgers. I think the close proximity of the international break has helped with regard to team selection, because he's putting out what he believes to be his strongest 11 for this game in the belief that the players will get 2 weeks to recover. So this is a proper Celtic team. This is not like the Falkirk Cup tie where he made six changes and then had to go and get the heavy artillery off the bench to win the game, or the Dundee match at Celtic Park in the league where he made the same six changes, didn't work for him, brought on the heavy guns again. He's gone with the heavy guns from the start this time.
Yeah, Mark, especially when one of the changes is clearly forced. We said over the last couple of days there was no Cameron Carter-Vickers or Austin Trusty at training on Friday, so you suspected that there would clearly be a high chance of an issue there. Carter-Vickers the one who misses out, Trusty comes in, stays in alongside Liam Scales, and thereafter, as Hugh says, it is just that, it's that nod that they've done this before at Rugby Park, and Adam Eder seems to work there, maybe a more direct option. But Hugh's right, isn't he? Absolutely no rotation apart from that.
Yeah, a show of strength, I think, from the manager. And people will see a show of strength as in you've got a huge squad and you can rotate and you bring in other personnel that do the job. But this is a different show of strength to show that these players, this group of players that played on Tuesday night and gave so much, can go again. And Hugh's right, there's an international break coming up that a couple of them may get a rest. Others will have to go around the world and play for their international sides. But he has got his eye firmly fixed in Kilmarnock. Now, I don't think there's any surprise with Eder because of the job he did back in April, was it? There, he fits right in. And to manage Cameron Carter-Vickers, I thought that was an important one. If Trusty was anywhere near fit, you play him. I don't think you can risk Carter-Vickers. He's too important for the season. It's a long-term issue he's going to have. So you don't want to play him in Astro at all. So it's the right decision. Trusty's proved himself fit. He goes in, Scales in alongside him, no problem in the back line.
You could pick any one of them, really, Gordon, in terms of who came through the other night with flying colours, because there were options. Rio Hatate obviously got singled out for praise, as did Callum McGregor. Interesting that that midfield three is kept the exact same, especially because there is scope there. Luke McCowan is deserving of some minutes. Paulo Bernardo is certainly worthy of some minutes. So quite telling that Brendan Rodgers has gone the same three.
I've got to be honest, Gordon, I think he's looked at this fixture. You asked a question yesterday, is it still classed as a difficult fixture down at Rugby Park? I think Kamarnock are starting to find a little bit of form. I think they'll like this game today. So I'm not surprised he's went me strong midfield there. I thought McGregor was magnificent the other night, but Hatate for me was just on another level. And then you take into the consideration the star man, Kuhn. So he's went with the big hitters. There were two changes there. I was expecting them. I didn't think Kyogo would start a game, and I didn't think, obviously, Carter Vickers, for the reason Mark touched on. But that's the strongest 11 possible. As I say, Derek McInnes will fancy it. He'll have his style, he'll have his plan. He's very well organised. If he can get the right service to the two big lads up front, they're a real handful. I like Kennedy in the wide areas of Wild. He can get in good deliveries. And young Watson is a star in the making. That's why I think it'll be a real good game.
And Hugh, arguably the biggest headline grabber from the other night would be Nicholas Kuhn, because he got the two goals. You ate your humble pie on him yesterday, which was very magnanimous of you, having doubted him, having doubted him last season. But clearly he's now at that level, isn't he? I know there's a long way to go, but he's probably already knocking on the door of that consistency that's really exciting the Celtic fans, and making him an absolute standout to play in the strongest 11.
Yeah, for the money paid for Nicholas Kuhn, he now looks bargain material. And inevitably, when you play Champions League and you do as well as he did against a Bundesliga side in midweek, inevitably the transfer speculation begins. English Premiership team Brentford mentioned an association with Nicholas Kuhn over the weekend. He's just a star turn now. And Kilmarnock, although they haven't lost at Rugby Park this season, the loss of Danny Armstrong and Stuart Finlay cannot be minimised, I don't think. They're two very, very good players for Derek McInnes. Celtic don't want to fester for a fortnight. You know, they don't want to go from the absolute high of beating RB Leipzig to the low that would be the loss of points at Rugby Park. You have to fester for a fortnight because of the international break. I think Brendan Rodgers is determined to go into that break on a high, on top of the league, along with Jimmy Tielan and Aberdeen.
What have we learned, Mark, in terms of how you navigate this challenge of, you know, of going to Kilmarnock? Because we talk about this stuff all the time, particularly when Rangers go there as well, because they went recently and struggled. In that last game where Celtic went there and won 5-0 so convincingly, was that the perfect example, 4-0, sorry, is that the perfect example of, you just need to go there and make sure you're the best version of what you do? And then, with no disrespect to Kilmarnock, they shouldn't live with you. If you start getting dragged into what Kilmarnock are so brilliant at, then that's when the game will, you know, Derek McInnes would love that.
Yeah, well, you will struggle, because that's Kilmarnock's specialty. And, you know, in the wide areas, like Daz says, they've got threats. If you leave your fullbacks isolated against them, you're in trouble. But in possession, look, if you can move Kilmarnock a bit from side to side and you've got the quality to play through them, then you will get your rewards. But Celtic, I thought, did it a wee bit different, Weida, when they won by five back in May. I thought they went a wee bit more direct to Ida, and they got bodies round about them. They've got willing runners. Look, you've got Hatate, you've got Maeda, you've got Kuhn, you've got Engels, who's got a good engine, who can all play off or beyond Ida. So I wouldn't be surprised in the opening stages if you see something similar. And obviously the further Kilmarnock then drop as the game goes on, then you can play and pick passes. So they know how to manage the game, Celtic. They've got the blueprint there from last season. I'll be surprised if it changes much in the opening stages of this game.
I think Aberdeen last night made all of this even more interesting, because Jimmy Tielan is gathering figures that cannot be ignored. You know, that they are seriously in this championship. Their figures tell you so. And Aberdeen Pittodrie sold out for the fourth time in a row. The atmosphere last night was electric. The way they overcame a relatively poor first half, survived a Dundee penalty, scored four goals, they're in this. And Celtic know they're in this.
Just a quick observation. Great to see some positive feedback coming into the show already so early on a Sunday. Blair says 5 minutes in and Dazzy's whistling nose is at it again. Dan says, can you please turn down the Dazzler's nose? I'm no listening to that for the next 8 hours.
I thought I heard something.
Actually,
what? I did say a couple of minutes ago. I did think
we're going to give this guy
a draft coming
in
the studio.
We're going to give him a complex though, because there's nothing worse when people tell you breathe differently and then you start thinking about it.
I'm starting to hold my breath now.
Aye, you're going beetroot. Breathe it.
Sorry,
breathe through the mouth.
What were you about to say? I'm sure it was insightful and I cut you off.
Yeah, I know what Hugh, I take on board what Hugh's saying about Aberdeen. I think that Aberdeen's best hope this season, they'll not challenge Celtic for the league. Absolutely no chance. I think they've started brilliantly in the league. They've not lost in the league. But I think Celtic the other week there at Hampden just showed them the difference in golf. And I think for Aberdeen this season, it's all about saying.
We will get to Aberdeen, don't worry. We're going to look back on yesterday's action as well. But just continuing the build-up, let's hear from both managers then, starting with Derek McInnes and then Brendan Rodgers.
I think from our point of view, we take confidence for the fact that we have had some good results against them last season. We have got to try and be the best version of us to get results against Celtic as we did last season. We had to do so much right in the game. We are not daunted by it, as we're in the same league. We've got a home fixture against them. It's up to us to go and try and make it difficult for them. But there's no doubt that they're improving, and it's no doubt it's going to be a huge challenge. I do think they present the biggest challenge for all managers in the league, and they have done now for a period.
Is that pretty simple, Mark? That because we always talk about belief being one of the biggest challenges when you take on Celtic, and it guarantees you absolutely nothing because, yes, they've lost as well. But the last time Kilmarnock beat Celtic down there at Rugby Park, 7 of the starting 11 that day start again today. So at least you don't have to look for a reference. You don't have to doubt that it's possible because 7 of them, and again, there's been a change in goal, so 7 of the outfield, they've lived it not that long ago.
Yeah. But look, to state the obvious, and it's something that you hear from youth football all the way through, sometimes when you come up against a team like Celtic, or most of the time, you need them to be a bit off it, and every one of your players to be on it. Now, the day that Kilmarnock, or twice they beat Celtic at Rugby Park last season, that's what happened. They were simply on it, they all knew their roles, in the wide area, they were effective, and they got a rubber to the green as well. That's what you need. That Derek McInnes knows that.
Because remember, they beat them twice.
They beat them twice in the Cup and the League. Yeah, of course. But that's what you need. And obviously you need Celtic to be off it. If Celtic turn up like they did in May and beat when they beat Kelly 5-0, Derek's realistic. He knows that's very difficult to deal with. If the Celtic turn up and play anything like they did against Leipzig on Tuesday night, let's be honest, Kilmarnock don't stand a chance. But you need things to go in your favour, and you usually grasp that within 10 minutes of the game. You usually get a feeling for how this is going.
He's given it his best shot at positivity. He said we are not daunted. Now, those words could come back to bite him. And he said, we're in the same league. So he's saying, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. We're both part of the Premiership. So that's positivity. Now he has to see what he can do to unnerve Celtic.
I think you can see where he's sort of going with the message to the players as well, because that's an obvious one, and he's right to do that. Beating them twice at Rugby Park last season, 7 of the same starting 11 from the league game, and 7 of the same starting 11 from the cup, albeit a different 7, if that makes sense. So a lot of experience there. And then Gordon, he said something during the week about the 5-0. I think he acknowledges that Celtic were brilliant and sort of blew them away, but he pointed out that, well, you know, Celtic had a title to win that night and we had sort of done our job, so maybe the motivation was a bit different. I'm not saying he's trying to write that one off, but again, maybe just a message to the players that, look, twice when we felt it really mattered, we managed to get something last season.
Look, Mark's right. I think if you look at this situation, if Celtic are at it today and they're on the front foot and playing the football they can play, there's only one outcome, and we all know that, and I think Derek will know that. He's hoping they're just off it a little bit, and if they're off it a little bit, there's no doubt, especially at home, with that, the experience and the two lads up front are a real handful at times. The record at Rugby Park is very good throughout this season as well, as you touched on. But if Celtic turn up, they win the game. But I just look at Darren McCann. Darren McCann's a very experienced manager. He'll be telling these players in there, we need to be at the top level. We need to be making sure we defend properly. Because you look at that front three in midfield of Celtic, they'll punish you if you just switch off for a minute. I think this has got to be a real tight game this afternoon. Still fancy Celtic strongly, but I think it'll be a tight game.
Do you think, obviously, Mark, the confidence, momentum, feel-good factor, all these buzz phrases that you hear, you know, plays into Celtic's hands, or gives them, you know, a better chance, if you like. They obviously go there in such a good place. It's, you can't really doubt anything that they're doing, certainly domestically. They've now even added a bit of that in the Champions League as well, of course.
Yeah, well, I can only relate it to when I was a player and I had similar experiences. You come off the back of a great result like that, you're going away from home to a hard place, you know, but really all about you and how you're feeling yourself going into that game. You look at every one of those Celtic players, and even the ones that come on, Scales come on and Ida come on and contributed the other night, you are feeling top of the world. You are feeling the top of your game. It's a dangerous opponent when you're facing something like that. And look, I keep saying it, the opening 5-10 minutes to these games will tell you a lot. If Celtic start really bright and start popping the ball about anything resembling like they did the other night, then that will continue for the full game. However, if Kilmarnock turn it into the scrap and they use Watkins and Vassell early on, physical, get the ball up to them, make it really hard for Trusty and Scales, then we could see a different game playing out.
Looking forward to it. We've given you the team news. You've heard from the managers, and there are plenty more build up to come. Why not tweet us? Give us your thoughts on the team lineups for both sides, and maybe a scoreline prediction as well, because I don't think Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale will get it right knowing them. So why not drop us a score prediction at Clyde SSB, and we'll see who gets it right come the end of the day. It's a long build up here. We've got still 40 or so minutes to go. With that in mind, we'll take a look back at some of the big talking points from Saturday in the Scottish Premiership when we return.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dl are in the studio. We've got Gabs down at Kilmarnock as well, because that's the first game up today, Kilmarnock against Celtic. Looking forward to it as always. And then of course turn our attentions to Rangers taking on Hearts a bit later on as well. We are here until 8 o'clock. We're asking for all your tweets just now, and then your calls a bit later on. Billy's on Twitter, says hope they're fresh, in response to the Celtic team. Pozog says good team that. I don't think there'll be too many complaints from the team Brendan Rodgers has chosen today, certainly one that is approaching Celtic's strongest. So for the meantime, let's take a look back at some of yesterday's action before we get back to things at Rugby Park. And I think in terms of storyline, Hugh, it feels like Hibs would be the right place to start. They lost again. That's now 7 without a win. They find themselves bottom of the table, only 1 point behind Hearts, granted, but still bottom. And it felt like some people had that down as a game that if David Gray lost, he wouldn't keep his job as Hibs manager. It's 2:30 the following day, he is still the Hibs manager. Do you expect that to change?
There's a possibility. I wouldn't say that he's entirely out of the woods, because it has been reported today that things turned ugly at full time. Supporters leaving the main stand made their feelings very well known to the occupants of the director's box, for a start. Ellie Yuan, the Hibs player, had to be separated from fans by his teammate Rocky Bashiri and club stewards. When it turns as ugly as that, then the club have to take notice. The ground was virtually empty by the time the match finished. Those who stayed had stayed to demonstrate in one form or another. It's a shocking run. They are bottom of the league. There has to be speculation about his future. The international break is normally the point at which people take action on these matters. And that's why I say he's not out of the woods yet. If they don't do it the next 24 hours, then they are of a mind to see if he can turn things round.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that one. He is walking a tightrope at the minute, because you've got to assess when results like this happen and you go on this run, if the future looks brighter, if you can see, you know, green shoots of recovery anywhere on the pitch, I'm talking about. Now, it may be fine off the pitch. Players may have the utmost respect for David Gray, for what he did for the club and how he is as a person, a man. But if you're the owner and the guys upstairs making decisions, you have to look what's happening on the pitch. And can you afford to allow this to go on to 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time, before you know it, you're at Christmas time. And if you're at Christmas time and you're still skirting with the bottom of the league, you are serious relegation contenders. And can Hibs afford that? Of course he can't. So that's where the decision then becomes, you know, imminent, and you have to make a strong one. You either back him and you get behind him and you say, we are sticking with him and we're going to support him and we're going to give him funds in January to strengthen this squad, or you have to make the decision that we all think might happen.
If you are of a mind to hold your nerve, the bottom five are separated by 4 points. 4 points. In other words, two good games back to back for David Gray could change the whole complexion.
Yeah, 2-1 win for St Mirren on the day, which was a very good win for them. Gordon, as is often the case, it gets lost amongst the so-called crisis club, which in this case is Hibs. Conor McMenamin with a double, his first goals since last November. He's had a brutal time due to injuries. Nicky Cadden's late penalty, he then thought he'd equalised. It was ruled out for offside, I think rightly so, having seen it back. Hugh puts up a fair point. They're not detached by any stretch, but at the same time, Hibs fans are clearly in a difficult place.
Yeah, Hugh's 100% right. I think because of the way the league is planned out, Gordon, St Mirren 2 or 3 weeks ago were down, what, 7th, 8th, round about that. A draw and a win has now put them into the top six. So, yeah, you look up there and Hearts are a point in front. You look up to Dundee in 7th, there's only 4 points of difference, Hugh rightly says. But if you're going to do it, this is a perfect time for me. Now, if you're not and you think, hold on a minute, we've got this taggy sacking managers left, right and centre, we have to hold our nerve, as Hugh's quite rightly says, then going back, it just come out and say, look, he's going forward, we're going forward with David Gray, we think he's the right man, give us his support. But if you're taking 8 points out of 36, tells you there's something wrong.
Well, you know you're at that stage when journalists very explicitly ask, do you fear for your job? Can you turn this around? And the manager doesn't bristle at those questions. He knows that they're fair and he knows that they're right. We're very much in that time now for Hibs. Here's what David Gray had to say.
I don't think worried or scared or is the right way I feel about it. I fully understand the noise, and rightly so, justifiably so, because of the situation we're in, where this club is at the moment. We've talked a lot about it being a new squad and I could come up with 101 excuses, but where we find ourselves isn't good enough, and I know it's something I've said now for a number of weeks because of where we are. One thing I do know is until someone tells me differently, I'm going to try as hard as I can. I will continue to work as hard as I possibly can because no one's more frustrated than me. I also know what's in the group and what we can be. As I say, that 45 minutes was so unlike us, but we delivered that, so we need to then bounce back as quickly as you can, because it isn't going to change. The players aren't going to change between now and in January, minimum. So it's about everybody working as hard as we can and sticking together to make sure we get through this period. But the question you've asked, I fully understand why you would ask it.
Okay, let's take a look at some of the other games. Gordon, important win for your local team, Motherwell. They're up to 5th, but level in points with Dundee United and Rangers before they kick off today. A 2-1 home win against St Mirren. Maswanisi had Motherwell in front fairly early on. Tom Sparrow made it 2. It looked like it would be comfortable. Nicky Clark scored a penalty after a certain Andy Halliday handballed it. St Johnston thought they'd equalised right at the end, but it hit Jack Sanders' arm and was ruled out.
Very good one. Very good one indeed. I know we had a caller on, Hugh, last night, you know, complaining about the performance, you know, getting entertained. I totally take that on board because you're paying a lot of money nowadays. But for me, after last week's disappointment at Hampden, where, let's be honest, Rangers deserved to go through, I thought Motherwell weren't that good. I thought the manager came in for a bit of criticism about his substitutions. But it was all about bouncing back. And they're sitting 5th in the league, Gordon, 19 points, you know, joint with Rangers just now. I know Rangers play later on tonight, but that's a good return. And you take into the factor that he's had so many injuries to key players, experienced players. So as much as maybe one or two Motherwell fans disappointed about the performance, for me it was all about result.
You're a student of the game, Mark Wilson. We were sitting watching the highlights before we came through to the studio, and it was really interesting last night, because Gordon's right, the first caller was a Motherwell fan who was just unhappy at the performance. But what that did was then spark loads of other callers to phone in and disagree and say that firstly they actually thought it was pretty good, and then even if they didn't, if you're a Motherwell fan, you probably know where your sort of limitations are, and 7 points better off than they were at this stage last season.
Oh well, that's a remarkable upturn in fortunes, and it's exactly where you want to be. Now, you'd like to get Hugh on and say, what would you rather then? Sparkling performances and be the opposite way, 7 points worse off? Of course you wouldn't take that. Depends what your level, what you think entertainment is. I said yesterday, and for those Motherwell fans that phoned up after Hugh, their entertainment is fighting for those European spots in the top half of the league. Their entertainment is being joint on point with Rangers and Dundee United, joint third. That is good enough. Now, Daz makes a good point. When you have lost so many key players, then of course that's going to affect how you play the game. I had to look at the stats after Hugh said that about the game, and of course Motherwell 33% possession, St John's in 66%, so they gave up a lot of the ball. But what is crucial is the key moments. Masuanisi's header, it's a great goal by the way, and so Sparrow's goal, great strike. So those moments to get right, who cares about what comes in between if you end up with the 3 points? Once you get all your players back, maybe you could have a gripe, but still, Motherwell should be pleased. Stuart Kettlewell should be pleased where he's taken this side so far this season.
The one thing I wasn't prepared for at 5 o'clock last night was the declaration of a style war at Fir Park. And I am firmly on the side of those who were contradicting my namesake Hugh. I think the only thing that matters, and I'm not abandoning the concept of entertainment, but the only thing that matters is that you stay in a respectable position in the league, and that you stay in the league full stop. And where Stuart Kettlewell has Motherwell at the moment is proof of the manager doing a good job. A
couple of VAR decisions, handballs in that one. Andy Halliday penalised 4-1. St Johnstone got a penalty, and then it went the other way, where a handball leading directly to St Johnstone's goal was ruled out. Here was Stuart Kettlewell's take on those.
I've seen both back. Categorically, I don't think there's any dispute whatsoever in the St Johnstone goal that's chopped off. You could argue a bit of fortune, but it was almost a kind of volleyball, two arms. I've seen the slow motion it there, so it's never going to be allowed in football. That's the reason we have VAR, which is what. The other side, again, I just feel it's this idea that probably every one of us in this room will have a different take and a different view. The one thing I would say on the penalty it's given for St Johnstone is that we obviously do these briefings at the start of the season. We had a couple last season whereby we were told that it was such close proximity from the ball. Graham Carey played. I played with him. He's got an absolute wonder left foot, but he strikes the ball so well. And you look at it, I think Andy's maybe 2 yards away from him when the ball strikes him. So that was kind of my argument that, you know, I don't think there's a possibility of him trying to get out of the way. He tries to get his shoulder towards the ball. So I'm not going to sit here and critique and criticise. It's been given today, but I wouldn't be surprised if at another point over the course of the season that it's not. So that's a little bit of grey area that quite clearly comes with a handball.
The other team that's up there with Motherwell on the 19 points is your old club, Dundee United. Mark Wilson, the most comfortable afternoon in the league yesterday, a 3-0 win against Ross County.
Yeah, a good result for Jim Goodwin. He just keeps churning out those performances and results. I mean, the United fans certainly can't argue. I think they're playing decent football as well, and some eye-catching performances. But just blooding through young players, getting young players in low. Lucas Stevenson scores a great goal, great diving header. And then young Sturton adds the third with another header. Shows he's got a lot of things going in the right direction for Dundee United.
That's a great story, that, isn't it? 17-year-old, his second touch in league football. I thought it was his first, but I think he got one before it got...
That's ruined it then.
Before
you'd
it got played out
first
wide
touch, didn't you?
And then it got crossed in.
Jim Goodwin gave away his age there when he said that it was Roy the Rover stuff. I'm not sure today's young men know who Roy the Rover is.
You're right. I think the phrase still works. I think people get the reference.
But the sentiment was undoubtedly correct.
You know, and then Hugh, once we left here, Aberdeen.
Yeah.
4-1 win against Dundee. Maybe question marks just because of the heavy nature of the defeat against Celtic last week.
Yeah.
Would it knock the stuffing out of them? How would they respond? They didn't start this game well. Dundee got a penalty that Simon Murray saw saved by Dimitar Mitov but by the end, yet another full house at Pittodrie,
yep,
and they're top of the league as we sit here today.
That's why I say they're the real deal. He's won too many matches, he's gone on too long an unbeaten run. He has filled Pittodrie for there to be any doubt about Jimmy Tielan and what he's doing there. That's a club reborn. 40 years since they won the league. And I've watched Aberdeen, managers have come, managers have gone. They get a trophy every now and then. They get the Scottish Cup in 1991, for heaven's sake. It's 10 years since they won anything.
Oh, you've not just taken Motherwell's 1991 Scottish Cup winner.
What was it, 1990?
Steady.
But the place is, call it anything you like, revitalised, re-energised, reborn under Jimmy Tielan. And I think it's wonderful to see, because it takes away that two-horse race dimension. They're in it until Celtic prove otherwise, and they're going to split the Old Firm until Rangers can prove otherwise. So they've got the two of them going into today's matches with a clear purpose.
Do you think they can win the league here?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think they've been brilliant. 11 games, 10 wins, 1 draw in the league. Obviously the disappointment of what Celtic did to them at Hampden, but I agree with you as well. I don't think they can win the league, but I think they can certainly put themselves in a position to split the Old Firm.
It's the number of players that are contributing. Papa Gay is still the joint top scorer in the league. He's not played in the Premiership for 2 whole months.
Yeah.
Kevin Nisbet misses 3 games due to injury, comes on, sets one up wonderfully, by the way, if you've not seen it. Brilliant quick thinking from a free kick, then scores one himself. Shaden Morris is revitalised. Vicente Bizalin was in his way out, he comes on and scores. It's just all seems to be pulling in the
collective
right direction.
Duke went AWOL, yeah, and was forgiven and brought back into the fold.
Yesterday was outstanding.
Yeah.
And that's got to boil down to the manager, hasn't it, and his coaching team. You know, when you've got so many players that were already in the building and you've transformed them and making them feel good about themselves, and they're, you know, churning out these performances, the manager's got to take huge credit within that. Well,
they've got good players, Matt. If you take Celtic out of the equation, would you say there's any better two fullbacks in Scottish football?
Devlin and McKenzie.
Yeah, they're terrific. McGrath and Midley Park can make things happen. They've got guys that can score goals. They've got a terrific goalkeeper. They've got a good base. He's built a good base. He's got a good squad. He's got everybody singing off the same hymn sheet. I totally agree with you in the sense that he deserves all the plaudits. Yes, they took a sore one off Celtic, but that can happen to you. But it's going to be a good season for Aberdeen. I'm glad that they're back, because I think Scottish football need that.
Yeah, a busy Saturday to look back on, but we have got big games just around the corner. First up, Rugby Park for Kilmarnock against Celtic, and we'll go back there next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are settling down. We're getting closer to kick-off at Rugby Park. Let's go back there and get a refresher of the team news with Gabriel.
Yes, Gordon, Celtic been flying over the past week. Arguably their two best performances of the season. That so-called generational win over RB Leipzig on Tuesday and the crushing victory over the Dons in the Premier Sports Cup last weekend. But it's back to league action today. It may have been a brilliant week on top of an outstanding start to the season, but Celtic come into this game 3 points behind leaders Aberdeen. Such has been the brilliance of Jimmy Tallien's side. They want to retake top spot and head into the international break in first place. Killy had a mixed start to the season, but they are climbed up the table a bit, lost 2 of their last 3. It's been very up and down. Derek McInnes wants a big win, a signature win, to really fire this fan base up, this squad of players, for the rest of the campaign. Let's quickly go through the teams again. We'll start with the hosts. 3 changes for Kilmarnock from last weekend's loss at Dundee. So it'll be Robbie McCrory in goal, the defence of Lewis Mayo, Robbie Dees and Joe Wright, Matty Kennedy and Corey Ndarbo, the wing-backs, with David Watson, Liam Donnelly and Bad Lions in the middle of the park. Kyle Vassell and Marley Watkins are up top. And for Celtic, it's just 2 changes from the Champions League on Tuesday night. Cameron Carter-Vickers has not risked on the AstroTurf. Kyogo drops to the bench. So it's Kasper Schmeichel in goal, Alistair Johnson, Liam Scales, Austin Trusty and Greg Taylor at the back. Callum McGregor, Reo Itati and Arne Engels in midfield. Nicholas Kuhn, Adam Eder and Dyson Maeda up top.
Yeah, interesting, Gabriel, because there's always such a debate about the pitch, and I know it annoys Kilmarnock fans, but it is what it is. And reports this week, of course, that they are going to delay plans to put down grass and stick with the Astro for another season. But Brendan Rodgers couldn't help it. I suppose he had no choice. You were at the press conference the other day when he was quick to point out that once you've gone there and won 4-0, wrapped up a league, done it in so much style, you probably can't then go and use it as an excuse thereafter.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. He said, when you win 4-0, when you play as well as we have, when you essentially lift the league trophy on that day, they remember they went straight to Parkhead and were celebrating into the early hours of the morning. He said, I can never slag off AstroTurf pitches again. So I'm sure if they lose today, he won't bring it up. But we're speaking to Derek McInnes as well earlier in the week on Wednesday, and he said that his team have had such a good record in the big game since they've come back into the top flight here at home against Rangers, against Celtic. That's what gives them confidence. Everyone remembers, as the boys in the studio were saying, the two games here early last season when Celtic lost in the league, then they lost in the League Cup. It actually looked like McInnes had Rodgers' number. You remember he took his side to Parkhead and they drew 1-1 in February with that late David Watson goal. And things were seriously looking shaky for Rodgers back then. Rangers breathing down Celtic's neck. But what a turnaround it has been since then. They clicked into gear. They, of course, hammered Killy here in May, wrapping up the title. They won 4-0 at Celtic Park against Kilmarnock on opening day this season, and they've not looked back at all this campaign.
Yeah, Mark, I don't want to labour the point because we've been here a million times, not only with Killy, with Livy. We've done it to death and we'll probably do it again. But just quickly your thoughts, because it's hard to get away from the notion that it must be a leveller at times. It just kind of must be, or it's at least different. But then, as Gabs has pointed out, Brendan Rodgers, they've won 4-0, can't use it as an excuse. They've mastered it in the past, so why not again? And then actually, you look at Kilmarnock, they've only got one home win this season. They've won once at home and they've failed to win on three other occasions. So it's not this secret cheat code that guarantees the home team wins, and you just have to deal with it.
Well, of course you do, and Brendan Rodgers knows that. When his team's been there and won convincingly and played some sparkling football on it, then you find it hard to have an excuse. I tell you, when he has got a reason to complain, and other managers do have a reason to complain about it, when it's dry and it's sunny and you go there and it's really sticky and you can't really move the ball, AstroTurf reacts differently. On a day like today, where there's been a little bit of rain, a little bit of drizzle on it, and it's fine, the ball moved just fine on it. So I don't think they will have any excuses if Kilmarnock, you know, win the game. I don't think we'll see anybody from Celtic come out and complain about the pitch.
I don't think it's about excuses, Gordon. I think it's a fact to our top league. I think it's an embarrassment to our top league. Honest with you, I totally understand the financial side there. I totally understand that they can train there, everything about it, and what the benefits are for Kilmarnock. This is our top league we're talking about. You know, we're getting a lot of crowds back as well. I know I keep harping on about that. Every team should have a grass pitch for me.
Like I say, don't think we need to labour the point. It's not like the first time we've seen a game on it, and you know, we've done this argument very many times. Hugh Keevans, in terms of the here and now and going into this one, Brendan Rodgers is obviously, I wonder if he almost sees these sort of full circle moments. Maybe he had it, to be fair, already in May when they went back there and won the title. But just the difference in the sort of feeling that they bring to Rugby Park today compared to some of the, particularly that League Cup one, because it was so early in his time.
Yeah.
You know, did people even want him back, trying to find their feet? That seems like an awful long time ago now.
Because when they beat Leipzig in the manner in which they did on Tuesday night, Brendan Rodgers had won the battle with the Celtic supporters, undoubtedly. Some didn't want him back, and now they have nowhere to go, because Brendan Rodgers has a Celtic side. If they were playing Kilmarnock in the car park, and you had Callum McGregor and Rio Hatate and Arne Engels and Nicholas Kuhn, I would expect Celtic to beat Kilmarnock in the car park, never mind on a synthetic pitch. Brendan Rodgers is now at peak Brendan, and I think that Celtic should now be investigating what happens at the end of next season when his contract comes to an end. If a player's contract was coming to an end next season, there would be preliminary talks. Brendan Rodgers is Celtic's number one asset. He makes players better. He made Matt O'Reilly better.
a £25 million player who yesterday scored the goal that beat Man City for Brighton. He made Kuhn better. He's made everyone there better. And he is the number one asset that Celtic possess. I think Celtic should be investigating where they go after next season in terms of the manager's position. But he arrives at Rugby Park today at the peak of his powers, and he knows individual players are playing at the peak of their powers as well. He wants to win, go back on top, and enjoy it for the next fortnight.
In terms of players, Mark, an interesting week with some updates, because according to the newspapers, was imminent that Alistair Johnson would sign a new deal. Yeah. Brendan Rodgers saying he, you know, hopes to sort something, but not necessarily imminent. Alex Valle, there were reports that his loan spell could be cut short by Barcelona, which I think would really worry the Celtic fans or annoy them. But again, Brendan Rodgers saying, as far as he knows, nothing's changed. And probably the most pressing one is Greg Taylor, who again plays today, keeps his place at a venue he knows very well. His contract is up very soon.
Greg Taylor's still the number one left back for me. I think Alex Valle's come in and done very, very well. I think he provides good competition and a good option for Brendan Rodgers in different matches. So that would be a blow if he has to go. But I think Greg Taylor, the sooner you can get him tied up, the better. And Alistair Johnson, for that matter. Fullbacks are so important to this team and the way that they play. They used to just be the unpopular position, didn't they?
Yeah, tell me about it.
I know all about it. But on this side, they aren't. They are so important, and it's very difficult to get fullbacks who are comfortable with the way Celtic play. They've got two very, very good ones. They've got Alex Valle, who can come in as well, and they've got Anthony Ralston, who deputises well. So they've got four there that do the job. If they can tie them down, then they need to.
Just in terms of key battles in this one, Gordon, is it hard to see beyond? Because you ask anyone what a key battle is, they say, oh, the game's won and lost in the midfield and the engine room, and you hear it all the time. Football, I think, has moved on, and there's a lot more to it. But just particularly with the way this Kilmarnock team do it, and we saw what happened when they played Rangers, Vassell and Watkins against Trusty and Scales, is it hard to see beyond that in terms of the way that sets the tone for Killie? Or if it doesn't work, then you pretty much know that it could be Celtic's day.
Yeah. I think that obviously Kilmarnock got to try and play to that strength, Gordon. But don't let's be kidded here that they're just a long ball up to those two, because they've got good players in the wide area. They've got good players in the middle of the park. I think both strikers today, especially for Celtic as well, that's why Ida's been brought back in. A bit of strength up there. They might go a little bit more direct and then play off the second ball. But if Kilmarnock can get good service up here, I think that'll be a great battle with these two against Celtic's Trusty and Scales.
The stage is set. It should be a cracker. Kilmarnock against Celtic, and kickoff is coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.